Hello, my name is Ori Reem, and this is Psalm 91 Dispatch. Today, we are talking about forgiveness and its vital role in our walk. And the reason I'm talking about forgiveness is because the Holy Spirit has put it on my heart to talk about it, so we're going to talk about it. And I've got a bunch of scriptures to share with you about forgiveness. And why it's so very, very important. So, as we get started here, I just want to do a little prayer just to get started and get our focus onto the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, just come to you, Father. And Father, if there's any sin that's in my life, I ask that you bring it to light and help me move towards forgiveness in all areas of my life, all people that have hurt me, all people that I've hurt, and just help me walk in your ways and not the world, not the world's ways. Father, please forgive me for judging others. Forgive me, Lord, for just forgive me, Lord. I bring, Father, all sin that I've committed, known and unknown, to the foot of the cross. I ask you, Father, please forgive me. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, forgiveness. Pretty important. I was talking last week about a situation that I was going through with a friend. I'm going to give you a little backstory of that. Well, it's like this. So, my friend, we got in an argument, and I really told him some stuff. I mean, a lot of it was truthful, but it kind of came through a place of hate. I'll be honest, okay? I've been going through a lot of stuff lately. A lot of changes have happened, and I let that get the best of me. I took my focus off God, and I had to repent. I had to repent, and I also had to message my friend and say apologize to him and explain why. And I also made an opportunity to witness to him and say, you know, whenever you're ready, Jesus is waiting for you. You know, my pride, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to apologize because I felt like, oh, I'm not wrong. This is what he did, Lord. And it wasn't until I got forgiveness, or asked for forgiveness, that the peace of God came back. And, man, I don't know about you guys, but I've been going through some major battles lately, mentally. And, I mean, it's partly because of a new job, but it's spiritual in nature as well. And you see, when we have unforgiveness, that gives legal ground to the enemy to attack us in those areas. You see, the devil, he will go up to the Father and to the courts of heaven, and he will basically make a case against you because, hey, this, you know, Ori just told this man this, and he was rude to him. He was not being Christian-like. You know, he was acting in hate. Therefore, I have legal right to attack him in this area. And then the Father will say, okay, according to my word, this is true. And that's what the devil does. He will use the word against us. So if we do have sin in our life, we do have things that we are not cleaning up by the blood of Jesus, the devil has legal right to go in there and attack you. That's just the way it is. So let's talk about forgiveness. So Matthew 6, verse 14. Just before that, it's the model prayer. It's the Our Father prayer. I'm just going to read that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, and do not lead, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So there you go. You know, you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. And this is also, it doesn't matter what the person has done. Forgiveness needs to happen. And sometimes we need to fast and pray about this stuff because it's a stronghold in our life. There's people, I mean, there's people who have done some really awful things to you. And maybe you're not able to forgive them, like physically, like you just can't, like, because they've hurt you so bad. They were so ruthless, so callous and cold that you're not able to forgive them. So that's kind of the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in. And you can ask the Lord Jesus to use the Holy Spirit power to move you into a place where you can forgive. That's the kind of prayers that you, that we should be making. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, if there's anybody listening to this and they have any unforgiveness in their heart, somebody has hurt them, treated them badly, I'm hearing scorning, attacking them, hurting them physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it is, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you just please move us, Lord, into a place where we can forgive these people. We ask this in the name of Jesus. For me, unforgiveness has been a pretty big thing. I'm a very sensitive guy. So I can hold on to things for a long time. So throughout the years, I've really had to work on this a lot. And the more and more that you do this work, the more and more God will honor that and bless you. Yeah, I'm working nights right now, so I'm still in night shift mode and I have to stay up tonight. Yay for me. Pretty hard, but gives me an opportunity to work on podcasts on my days off. So that's what I'm going to do. So yeah, let's check out another scripture here. Okay, Genesis 50 verse 17. Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of your servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. So there you go. Forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And that can happen in our own lives. When we forgive people, we can have an actual release of emotions that come out of us, because like when you're not forgiving people, you're holding on to that. When actually that person has control over you, believe it or not, they're walking all over your brain and all over your mind. They're in your mind. They're in your thoughts, whether you believe it or not. So that can be good motivation to bring you to a place of forgiveness. So Exodus 10:17. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. Okay, this is completely out of context, so forgive me for that. Here's a good one. So Exodus 32:32. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. So the book where all the saints of God are in, you know, God can blot you out of that. It's because if you haven't forgiven man, he won't forgive you. And we can actually find that scripture. Well, it's here somewhere. Yeah, So Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is a huge thing. This can also go into the subject of casting out demons. So if you have a stronghold in your life and you're not forgiving somebody, sometimes that can be a barrier to getting a demon cast out of you, is unforgiveness. Because then they have a legal right to come in and attack you. Right? So forgiveness is a very important thing in the Christian's walk, and it's, you're literally taking the head of pride and you're chopping it off. And trust me, I know what that's about. My pride gets swelled up in me once in a while, and I have to be like, okay, I gotta put it under subjection back to God. So, see here. Just looking for another scripture. Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, the only person that can do that is Jesus, obviously. So, Jesus' power over illness and evil spirits quickly became exciting news to the people around him. They came to him from everywhere looking for help. Jesus offers hope, healing, and new life to all who come to him in faith. I'll never forget Stephen. I met him in St. Louis. His 23 years have been hard on him. His arm scarred from the needle and his wrist scarred from the knife. His pride was his fist and his weakness was his girl. He wanted to change, but his girlfriend would have none of it. Oh, she would listen politely and would be very sweet, but her heart was gripped by darkness. Any changes Steve made would be quickly muffed as she would craftily maneuver him back into his old habits. She was the last thing between him and the kingdom. We begged him to leave her. He was trying to put new wine in an old wineskin. He wrestled for days trying to decide what to do. Finally, he reached a conclusion. He couldn't leave her. The last time I saw Steve, he wept uncontrollably. I held big, tough, macho Steve in my arms. A prophecy of Jesus was true. By putting his new wine into an old wine, old skin, it was lost. No friendship or romance is worth your soul. Repentance means change, and change means purging your heart of anything that can coexist with Christ. You can put new life into an old lifestyle. The inevitable tragedy occurs. The new life is lost. Do you need a big change to put your life on course? Boldly put your life in Christ's hands and let God do a miracle. So there you go. That's from the Lucado Encouraging Word Bible. I like that. Puts things into context. So here in Luke 5:23. So Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. Now it happened on a certain day he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Yeah, I mean, they had faith, all right. I mean, they took that paralyzed guy, and they took him up on the roof through the ceiling. That's faith, man. That is faith. Oh, wow. Hey, Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. You know, the Father, he knows everything. He knows everything. Absolutely anything. Everything. And you can't keep secrets from him because he knows everything. But you might as well just let it be. I mean, just forgive those people. You'll be a lot better off if you forgive people. I mean, for me, I had to really forgive, my ex-wife. It was not just me. That was the downfall of that relationship. It was both of us. I mean, we moved away from each other. Like, our values didn't line up. You know, I wanted to become more Christian-like and get more involved with the church, but, like, she wanted nothing to do with that stuff. And I remember telling her one time that, you know, one day I'm just going to go onto the mission fields and preach the gospel. And I think that scared her. I think that scared the crap out of her. And she said, yeah, not before I leave you first. I don't know if she said that, but that's kind of what happened. We just grew apart and it didn't work anymore. And then things got really ugly. I mean, I was super hurt, man. I was super hurt by her. She did some things that it took me a long time to heal. It took me a long time to heal and let go of those things. But I was able to let go of them and heal those parts of me and to say, you know what? We all make mistakes. We all have changes. I'm not going to blame her for everything. That doesn't help me. That doesn't serve me. You know, part of healing is looking at the truth of the matter and saying, okay, this is the truth. What is going on here? How do I move forward with this? So Psalm 25, a plea for deliverance and forgiveness. You know, I was listening to a guy today. I think it was a guy. Or was it a girl? I think it was a guy. He was talking about, no, it was a girl. It was a prophet of God. And she was talking about why God put the Psalms of David in the Bible. Because David was a man after God's own heart. He would, like, even when God was chastening him, even when God was, like, really correcting him and things were getting, you know, he would seek God even more. And I can resonate with this, and I think a lot of you can too, that when life gets tough, we need to teach ourselves to run to God instead of running away from our problems. I mean, the first instinct when you come across a problem is, it's like, oh, great, here we go. How do I get out of this? But what happens if instead you do that, instead you go to the prayer closet and be like, Father, how do I address this situation? How do I fix this? What do I do? And I'm experiencing this in my life, but there's a lot of things that I've put off out of laziness and being stagnant in my growth. And, you know, I'm being punished for them. I'll just say it. I feel like I'm being punished for them. I can't be wrong about that. But I've been very stagnant in my growth with God. I know I could be doing a whole lot more. I know I could be trying harder. I know I could be putting more effort into this podcast. You know, I know I could be putting more effort into a lot of things. So it's a reminder to me that, you know, if you have a call in your life, God will move you in a way to make you do that calling. Maybe it's a job that you really don't like mine. I don't like my job. My job sucks. But it's very physically demanding and it's keeping me in shape. I mean, I've been doing 20,000 steps a night at work, but part of the good part is I get lots of time off. So that's kind of nice. I work half the time, basically half the year I'm working. So I would rather work a job like that than have to work all the time. I mean, yeah, I got to work 12-hour shifts, but the most I have to work is 3 12s in a row. So that's not a big deal. But most of the things that I go through are mental. And I need to start working on the stuff and taking it seriously because it's a stronghold for me. Other people have strongholds in different areas. Some people, you know, are addicted to women and, you know, all those relationships. Some are addicted to food. Some are all this stuff. But it's important to stay close to God and focus on Him and just to run after Him. Run after Him like a new lover, you know? You know, when you first fall in love with somebody, that feeling, run after Him like that. So this is Psalm 25, a plea for deliverance and forgiveness, a psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let my enemies triumph over me. Oh, let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness is, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his ways. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. And the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. I mean, this man was really going through some stuff. He says, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. That just feels like my life lately. I'm going to be honest with you. And there's been times where lately I haven't been running to God and I should have. But today I feel like I've really gotten back into the presence of God. And I'm like, okay, I got my eyes back on him. And it's incredible. Like when you're just out and about, it is so easy to be thinking of a million things, right? We can be thinking of anything, basically. We've got access to millions of podcasts. We got access to millions of different videos. But when we choose with our time to focus on God, man, that anointing's going to come upon you and you're going to start walking in his ways. I mean, the anointing fell on me today and I was like, man, Lord, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve it. But this is actually another episode I just want to give a little sneak preview of this one. But it's called Stir Up Your Anointing. And this is, I believe, a word from the Lord that the Lord gave me. And he showed me, he basically showed me, he's like, this is how you stir up your anointing. And all I was doing, I had worship music on. And I was just focused on God and I was just singing. Like, I was singing the songs, but I was singing to the Lord. And it was that song, Yeshua, or I don't know what it's called. It was Yeshua. Yeshua. You know, it's a beautiful song. Oh my gosh, I love it. I love that song. But there's like this worship they do, and they just continue with that song. After a while, I was like, wow, okay, you guys could sing another song. But I was just in a state of worship, and then, man, the anointing was falling on me. It was on me, and I was just like praying in tongues, and I was going for it. So I think that message was for today. Is like God wants us to stir up our anointing. As the world gets more dark and gross, his light and his power is more powerful. It's even more deeper. And we're going to be really tested. I just want to really put that out there. Like, God's really going to clean up our life. And if you don't clean up your life, you're going to be in a lot of trouble in the coming years, because we're going to have to walk by complete faith. I mean, I don't know if you've heard this, but I mean, the Jewish people are about to do their red heifer sacrifice. That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. That's basically just before the Antichrist shows into power. They think it's their Messiah, but it'll be the Antichrist. And the crazy thing about the Antichrist is, you know, the Muslims, they believe in the Mahdi, and their Mahdi is going to come and destroy the infidels. So their Messiah is our Antichrist. So that's a different conversation for another day. But as we go into forgiveness, let's just put on the state of forgiveness, the joy of forgiveness. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. It's such a blessing, because when you are walking in complete forgiveness, when you're walking with every part of your life forgiven by the blood of Jesus, and this is also in the context of habitual sin. If you've slayed that dragon in your life, that habitual sin, I'm still working through mine, but as you're slaying that dragon, that force, more power will be given to you. More of God's anointing, more of his presence, more of his love will be poured out upon you. You will witness that. Okay? And everybody's been given anointing, okay? Everybody. If you're a believer in Jesus and you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have an anointing over your life. Yours will be different than mine, and so on and so forth. Mine, I'm still trying to discover what it is, but I mean, there's depths to it that I know very little about. So prayer for wisdom and forgiveness. This is Psalm 39:1. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, is having wisdom with your peers. I mean, other people are, you know, talk about, you know, all kinds of wicked, disgusting things. You know, talk with the holiness in your mouth. Talk with the holiness in your mouth. You know, walk in the ways of God, set apart from this world. That's difficult. That's hard. especially when you've lived your whole life and that's what you've done, you know, gossiping and joking around and telling jokes. And, you know, it's tough being that way. Cause like it's, I mean, for me, the Christian walk is a very lonely walk for me. It just has been. I mean, I'll be honest. I feel so rejected by a lot of people. That's been my walk. That's just been my walk. I don't know if that's because of the gift that I have that God has given me, or the presence of God that's upon me, or what it, I don't know what it is, or just my personality. Maybe people don't like my personality, but man, people just tend to, when they discover what I'm about, they're just like, man, they don't like me. So, I mean, Jesus was rejected his entire life, so I can deal with a little bit of rejection. So if you're going through rejection, you are not alone, okay? I am here with you. We can be friends. We can talk. You can listen. I'll talk. Maybe you want to come on the podcast. That'd be great. I'd be willing to do that. Just drinking coffee right now. Okay. Daniel 9:9. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Kind of want to read the... While Daniel was in exile, he read Jeremiah 25:11-12 and 29:10. He realized that Israel's 70-year punishment was almost over. Daniel knew his people had been unfaithful, but he asked God to forgive them. Daniel received another vision about the end times and the fate of Israel. God answers our prayers and reveals his plans for us when we ask for guidance. Those are God's arms you feel. Trust him. That is his voice you hear. Believe him. Allow the only decision maker in the universe to comfort you. Life at times appears to fall to pieces. Seems irreparable, but it's going to be okay. How can you know? Because God so loved the world, and since he has no needs, you cannot tire him. Since he is without age, you cannot lose him. Since he has no sin, you cannot corrupt him. If God can make a billion galaxies, can't he make good out of our bad and sense out of our faltering lives? Of course he can. He is God. If you're fearful about the future, wondering where God is leading, just talk to him. Trust him. He is the God of the universe and the one who knows how many hairs are on your head. He loves you. Wow. I really like this. I got a subscription to Bible Gateway, and they got like all these like study Bibles and stuff. And it's really good stuff. I like it. It gives me lots of material, boy. Okay, let's talk about this one. This is a controversial one. This is also about forgiveness. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Okay, so this one, a lot of people trip and fall over this. I have fallen and tripped over this scripture. It's put fear in me. But basically, this is the gist of it. If you feel like you've committed the unpardonable sin, you haven't. Because basically the unpardonable sin would be the Holy Spirit leaving your presence, and you would be absolutely callous, cold-hearted. It wouldn't even bother you. You would just be like, whatever, I don't care. So don't worry about that, because a lot of times you haven't. I mean, you haven't committed that, okay? If you're worried that you committed it, you haven't committed it. That's the rule. So that can put you at ease for this one, because I know this one has really put a lot of fear in me. Over the years, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I blasted the Holy Spirit. And it'll just be thoughts flowing through your head. And they're probably not even your thoughts. They just come up because you're like, oh, don't do that. You know, it's like the saying, don't think of a purple elephant. What did you just think of? You just thought of a purple elephant. Or Barney the purple dinosaur, right? So don't worry about that one. I mean, you don't want to do that, but that's the rule of that one. So hopefully that brings peace to you. Okay, so Acts 5:31, him, God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgive our forgiveness of sins. That's right. He has forgiven us. All we got to do is bend our knee and go to him, and he will forgive us. That isn't that wonderful? So, also the your heart. You know, what's the state of your heart? Where is your heart at? I mean, listen to this. Genesis 6:5. When the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So, like, a lot of these sins, like, they grieve the Father. Like, when you're sinning against God, you're doing things against his gospel, against his will. He wants us to walk in a pure and just way. It doesn't mean that the blood of Jesus isn't sufficient and that we don't have the grace of God. We have all those things, but we need to crucify the flesh. We need to crucify our sin and be like, no, I'm not going to walk in that way anymore. I'm not going to take part in sin all the time, you know? I want to be free from this stuff. So just know that God, he wants you to be free. He does. But, you know, what's the condition of your heart? What's the condition of your heart? John 12:40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So out of your heart, that's where the sin comes from. You know, that's where it's happening. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, I want to read this one. I have a little bit of a stuff-up nose. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So, yeah. So, yeah, forgiveness is so vital. So, if there's anybody that you need to forgive, you can just ask the Father, and he will guide you in that. And, yeah, he will show you. He'll show you what you need to do. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all this stuff. We just need to be listening to him and to be like, okay, I'm here to listen. I'm here. Let's do this thing, right? And that's how we start with deliverance, is we start with forgiveness, and like any sin in our life, we get rid of that. And that's, you don't want to give grounds to the enemy, because you give grounds to the enemy, he will attack you, and he's ruthless. He's seeking like a roaring lion, seeking out who he may devour. You know, he's looking who he may devour. And if you are, you know, if you're partaking in habitual sin, he can use that, and he will get you. Don't think that this stuff won't. You may think it's innocent, but it's not innocent. It's nothing about sin is innocent. Okay? Why do you think there's such a high price to be paid? Why does it have to be paid in blood? I mean, God's word is very true and very holy, and he wants you to walk in those ways. But it's up to you. He's giving you free will. So he's not going to do it for you. Don't just be listeners of the word, be doers as well. We need to really keep an eye on our sins and be like, okay, I need to work on this. I'm going to work on this, you know. And he'll help you, you know, stay connected with the Lord Jesus. I mean, wow. Just praise the Lord. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit on me right now. Boy, oh boy. Amen. Amen. Whew. Yeah, if there's like people in your life too, I mean, I know I'm in a new atmosphere right now at work, and it's an opportunity for me to pray for people. It's an opportunity to be that Christian. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really struggling with being that person because in my head, I'm just like, man, I want to be wrathful. I want to be mean. That's my old nature, right? That's the old man. Let's talk about that, actually. Old man. Putting to death the old man. Putting to death. Yeah. So, Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Let's not be slaves of sin anymore. Let's walk in the power and the righteousness of God. Okay, let's read this from Lucado Encouraging Word Bible. So, okay. Since Christ's righteousness brought us into a favored relationship with God, we should live by God's standards. Christians are not slaves to sin, but can overcome by the power of God. Think of it this way. Sin put you in prison. Sin locked you behind the bars of guilt and shame and deception and fear. Sin did nothing but shackle you to the wall of misery. Then Jesus came and paid your bill. He served your time. He satisfied the penalty and set you free. Christ died, and when you cast your lot with him, your old self died too. The only way to be set free from the prison of sin is to serve its penalty. In this case, the penalty is death. Someone has to die, either you or a heaven-sent substitute. You cannot leave prison unless there is a death. But that death has occurred at Calvary. And when Jesus died, you died to sin's claim on your life. You are free. Christ has taken your place. There is no need for you to remain in the cell. Ever heard of a discharged prisoner who wants to stay? Nor have I. When the doors open, prisoners leave. The thought of a person preferring jail over freedom doesn't compute. Once the penalty is paid, why live under bondage? You are discharged from the penalty of sin. Why in heaven's name would you ever want to set foot in that prison again? Paul reminds us, our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. He is not saying that it is impossible for believers to sin. He is saying it is stupid for believers to sin. It's not the literal impossibility, but the moral incongruity of the saved returning to sin. What does the prison have that you desire? Do you miss the guilt? Are you homesick for dishonesty? Do you have fond memories of being lied to and forgotten? Was life better when you were dejected and rejected? Do you have a longing to once again see a sinner in the mirror? It makes no sense to go back to prison. Select a new habit that you'd like to kick. A habit that turns your life, pray for help, write down 3 steps you can make to remove that habit from your life. Do it today. Enjoy your new life. You know, that message is for me. Because, like, for me, it's pornography. It's such a stronghold in my life. I've been casting that demon out because I'm like, I got to start doing deliverance on myself because I'm not doing something right, you know. But there's also other things I've been doing is, you know, I'll stay off my phone at nighttime. I'll just turn it off. I'll turn it off because I know that if I'm on my phone at night, that's where the temptation comes. And then you're scrolling and then all of a sudden you see something, you're like, oh crap. So, you know, do whatever it takes to overcome that. And also in pornography, you know, it's not a, it's not like a, I mean, there's a victim in all this. You're basically making the other person on the other side of that image into less of a human. You're using them for your own pleasure. So when you put it that way, it kind of makes you stop and think about it and be like, you know, why would you sin? Why would you put yourself back in prison? That's a very good message. So let's crucify our flesh, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I think I should memorize that. So you're not alone in this. Like I'm struggling too with stuff, but let's overcome this stuff. It doesn't just because I'm complaining about it doesn't mean give me an excuse to go do it again. No, I'm believing that God's going to deliver me out of this, but you know, I need to work at it and I need to overcome this thing. Everybody's got their thing they got to overcome. Everybody does. So, I mean, yeah, Acts 4:22, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. You know, sometimes it's us that prevents our healing because we don't have the faith to believe, or it's habitual sin. Habitual sin will stop you from growth with God. And I'll tell you right now, I'm experiencing that punishment right now, and it hurts. It hurts me so bad. I mean, last night at work, I was just like, man, I'm like, man, I don't want to be here. This job sucks. And I know it's a punishment for me because, you know, I'm not overcoming this stuff. I'm not trying hard enough, you know. I need to, you know, when these thoughts start happening, I need to start casting those demons of lust and whatever out of my life. And you should be doing the same. You bind and cage those demons and cast them out of your life. You know, the devil will do anything he can to stop you from, one, praying, reading the word, two, and casting out demons. We should be doing that on a regular basis. If you have to cast out demons every day, cast them out every day. Just continue. Don't stop. You don't want your condition to be worse than when it first started, and that'll happen. That'll happen if you drop your guard. It'll happen. But God can protect you. I'm not here to put fear in you, but God can protect you. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So with that, I think this has been a really good episode. I'm working on an intro right now. I've kind of started it, but it's kind of like I got this, I paid for this thing where you get like all these sound effects and music and stuff. So I might start putting like music in the background and like sound effects. It just makes it more entertaining. And I think it brings the message across better. And also I want to do an intro and an outro for my podcast. So I'm working on that. I want to put more effort into this because I know I'm not putting enough effort into this. I need to. So let's just do a quick prayer and then we'll send you guys on your way. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful night. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for all the blessings that we have. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the victory that we have in the cross. And Lord, you have richly blessed us in all things that we have done. You've done everything that you've done, Lord. You've richly blessed us. We know this. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, just please keep us in your will. And please keep us on the straight and narrow path to heaven. Whatever it takes, Lord, we just pray for two warring angels for every listener in Jesus' name. A wall of Holy Spirit fire protection around them in Jesus' name. And we just also pray, Lord, that you just send confusion in the camp of the enemy, that the enemy will attack themselves, thinking that they're attacking us, but they'll be attacking each other. And we just pray for ultimate confusion in their camp, Lord, so that they will be ineffective in our lives, that their attacks will be ineffective. And we just pray for protection in all areas of our life. And Lord, I just pray for dreams, visions, signs, wonders in all people's lives that are listening to this. And just a hunger for your word and a hunger to be more in your presence. Take more time out of our day to just think upon you and focus on you. You know, Lord, we can think about a million things, but Lord, we're going to think on you instead and watch the peace of God surround your life. So I just thank you, Father, for this wonderful day. Thank you for the breath of my lungs and the health that we have. And yeah, Lord, if there's any people that need healing, I just pray and release healing onto these people now in Jesus' name. We release that healing through the blood of Jesus, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray for that to fall upon them. And all sicknesses and disease, that we bind and cage those diseases, then we command them to go now in Jesus' name. We command them to go peacefully in Jesus' name. And we just pray and believe, Lord, that we're going to feel a lightness. We're going to feel that heaviness lift off of us and flee. And we just pray, Lord, that you just fill that area with your love and your presence that has been vacated now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to end with a song. And you guys have a wonderful night. Okay. Have a wonderful night. God bless.
Heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they do wicked things. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand. Seek after God, but they have all gone astray. They've all become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Evil men know nothing at all. Persecute as if that's what feeds them. They do not call upon the Lord. Because of this, they're terrified. For God is with the sanctified. The wicked try to thwart the hopes of the poor and the oppressed. But Yahweh is their refuge. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Yahweh is their refuge. And He says, when you mess with the poor, you mess with me. He makes the dreams of the poor come true. The dreams of the poor come true. He makes the dreams of the poor come true. He makes the dreams of the poor come true. The dreams of the poor come true. He makes the dreams of the poor come true. Of the church looking down from heaven. When the Lord sets free the captives, his people will rejoice and his people will be glad. His people will rejoice and his people will be glad.